Air National Guard controllers are helping in Haiti. Obama will reportedly thumbs up the F-35 but end the C-17. And the first British Joint Strike Fighter pilot has flown. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation from Monday, February 1st, 2010. The first of two rotations of Air National Guard controllers from the U.S. is in Haiti, helping coordinate traffic. ANG says it has been able to increase the capacity from 90 flights per day to 120. Scott Duke, chief of the Air National Guard's Airfield Services Division, says, quote, "That is impressive, and when you add the complexity of finding parking spaces for these aircraft on an airport not designed for that many airframes, you can immediately see the benefit," unquote. Many of the controllers are FAA controllers in their civilian careers, and some saw duty in the Hurricane Katrina disaster stateside. The Guard is scheduled to be active in Haiti for 180 days, using two 90-day personnel rotations. While privacy advocates and security theater critics wrinkle their brows over the idea of proliferating full-body scanners, workers at Valley Forge Composite Technologies are high-fiving in the hallways. The company says it just shipped its first Odin, a state-of-the-art full-body scanning system based on ultra-low-dose imaging technology. Citing security concerns, the company declined to identify the first customer. Lou Brothers, CEO of Valley Forge, explains, quote, "We have been informed that we were chosen because we are providing very high-quality images," unquote. The company says its device could see a wider rollout after acceptance testing, which is expected to take about 30 days. The technology promises to detect liquids, explosives, and other contraband carried on an individual, even when concealed. The Obama fiscal 2011 budget proposal is due on Capitol Hill today, but there have been some significant leaks about its contents. Defense News reports big items include a request for $10.7 billion for more F-35 Joint Strike Fighters and $4 billion over 4 years for development of a new long-range bomber. The report also suggests programs including the C-17 and the F-136 alternate engine for the F-35 will be cut, while the budget for the Reaper UAS will double. Defense News says $9.6 billion will be requested for advanced rotorcraft of various types, including $2.7 billion for the Osprey program. A Royal Air Force officer became the first active-duty service pilot from the UK to fly the F-35 last week. RAF Squadron Leader Steve Long piloted a short takeoff and vertical landing version, that's the F-35B, over Naval Air Station Patuxent River, Maryland, and flew as high as 20,000 feet during the 1.3-hour flight. Both the RAF and the Royal Navy plan to operate the F-35B. Long commented, quote, "An F-35 pilot will have an unprecedented level of situational awareness about what's going on in the airspace around him and also on the battlefield or ocean below. Not only that, but the F-35 will plug into coalition battlefield networks and be able to pass that picture on to all other players in the network," unquote. The UK has invested $2 billion in the development of the F-35. That's the highest among the eight nations which have partnered with the U.S. Up next on ANN, NATCA complains the SoCal TRACON is awash in trainees. Marion Blakey assesses the State of the Union address. And the Team America Rocketry Challenge has drawn over 600 teams. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 1st. I'm Paul Plack. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association became known during the Bush administration years for its constant, sometimes hyperbolic bashing of the FAA. Since the start of the union-friendly Obama administration and the installation of former Pilots Union boss Randy Babbitt as FAA administrator, NATCA has been much more quiet. But on Friday, the union complained in a public news release about the continued decline in the number of CPCs, or Certified Professional Controllers, at the SoCal TRACON, which it calls the nation's busiest ATC facility. NATCA says that in 2004, Southern California had 239 CPCs and 7 in training. 2 years later, it was down to 199 with 23 trainees. Today, the count is 176 with 82 trainees. The union says many of those trainees have come in with no prior FAA or military ATC experience, which NATCA says puts them at a disadvantage for successful training at SoCal. 1 year ago last week, NATCA noted a similar decline in CPCs at Oakland and held a news conference to announce a staffing emergency, a made-up term apparently intended to panic the flying public. A year later, under the Obama administration, the hyperbole is toned down considerably. Facility Representative Mel Davis even said Friday that success for raw trainees is possible, quote, "and we have some success stories, but what we really need are more experienced controllers to transfer here. The problem facing the FAA is trying to get these experienced veterans to leave their short-staffed facilities to come to another short-staffed facility, which leaves us in a perilous position," unquote. Marion Blakey used to be the Bush administration's FAA administrator. Now she's back in the private sector as president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association, a lobby group representing companies which depend in part on federal funding. In critiquing last week's State of the Union address by President Obama, Blakey noted the curious absence of any mention of aviation and aerospace. Quote, "In particular, the next-generation air transportation system that will transform the way Americans travel as we replace the 1950s-era radar-based system with a precision satellite-based system. It is infrastructure that is a major catalyst for jobs and should be included in any jobs bill," unquote. She continued, quote, "Another notable omission was NASA and the future of our manned space program. While President Obama stressed the importance of technology and education to our competitiveness and economy, NASA is a key contributor to those fundamentals for our nation," unquote. Blakey did share the president's comments on the need for more available credit, saying it's needed, quote, "particularly by our smaller suppliers who have been stymied in their efforts to invest and innovate by a weak credit market. This, along with the tax proposals, will help small businesses boost our economy to health," unquote. AIA contends that the expected $6 billion expected to be invested in next-gen equipment will generate 150,000 new jobs through 2012 and 30,000 in the first year. The AIA has also announced that 669 teams from 45 states, the District of Columbia, and the U.S. Virgin Islands will take part in this year's Team America Rocketry Challenge. The challenge is co-sponsored by the National Association of Rocketry and more than 30 industry partners, with participation by NASA, the Defense Department, and the American Association of Physics Teachers. This year's challenge is for each 3 to 10-member team to design and build a model rocket that carries a single raw egg payload to a precise altitude of 825 feet with a flight duration of between 40 and 45 seconds, returning the egg to the ground unbroken. The 100 teams with the best qualifying scores compete at the finals near Washington, D.C. on May 15th. The total purse for prizes is $60,000, plus Raytheon is covering costs for the winning team to attend a fly-off at the Farnborough International Air Show near London in July, competing against teams from the UK and France. More than 20% of the aerospace workforce becomes eligible for retirement by 2013. In a 2009 survey among members of teams in the Rocketry Challenge, 70% said they became more interested in careers based in science, technology, engineering, and math. Still ahead, Saudi Arabia will get its own lab for analyzing black boxes. Aircel installs its new internet box on a Gulfstream. And the only black U.S. ace has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 1st. I'm Paul Plack. Saudi Arabia will become the latest nation to have its own independent flight recorder playback and analysis lab. CAE Flightscape says it has the contract to supply its software suite for use by the General Authority of Civil Aviation in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The authority's safety and economic regulation arm is tasked with investigating aircraft accidents occurring within the country and also those involving aircraft of Saudi registry which happen elsewhere, formulating new safety recommendations based on the findings and maintaining the nation's accident database. CAE says the Saudi system will be based on technology and processes originally developed at the Transportation Safety Board of Canada. Aircel announced last week the first installation of its ATG-5000 high-speed internet system on a Gulfstream G200 based in California. Senior VP and General Manager John Wade says the system provides standalone Aircel high-speed internet capabilities without the integrated voice and narrowband data features of Aircel Access. Quote, "As we begin 2010, the demand for in-flight internet continues to accelerate. Our new ATG-5000 offers a new segment of aircraft operators the opportunity to increase their company's productivity by keeping executives fully connected in flight," unquote. The system consists of a line-replaceable unit and two belly-mounted blade antennas and an optional cabin telecommunications router. Total weight of the system with the router is under 17 pounds. The ATG-500 and ATG-4000s delivered since December include the ability to automatically switch between Aircel's ground-based system while over the continental U.S. and Swift broadband service elsewhere in the world. The first installation was performed by Gulfstream Aerospace Corporation's Dallas Service Center. That G200 is operated by FlightWorks. And finally today, ANN has learned that America's only black ace pilot has passed away at the age of 90. Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Lee Archer was a Tuskegee Airman who was credited with 5 kills during World War II. After retiring from the Air Force in the 1970s, he went on to a successful career as a vice president at General Foods, where he ran one of the company's small business investment arms that funded such projects as Black Enterprise magazine. He eventually left to start his own venture capital firm, Archer Asset Management. He was one of the Tuskegee Airmen invited to attend President Obama's inauguration in 2009. 2 years earlier, he and the other members of the unit were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal by then-President George W. Bush. Lee is survived by his wife, a daughter, 3 sons, and a couple hundred million grateful U.S. citizens. Lee, thank you for your service. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves has a major issue with the FAA's call to action on regional airline deficiencies. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.